transforming away, man. We are transforming. Believe it or not, yes, this is actually the final message in our Transformer series. Yes, it's the series that you thought would never end, but we are actually concluding the series today. I feel like we've been in this series since midsummer, because we have. No, we really, it's been about 7 or 8 weeks. We did start it in the middle of last month, and it's been a great series. Real kind of simply put, to summarize, we've been talking about the four arenas of church life, that if we participate in those arenas, we put ourselves in a position to be transformed week in and week out. You guys are doing one of those today. You chose to honor God with your time and come and participate in a weekend service, and we know that God, I believe God's going to really transform your life today because of that. The other ones we talked about are small groups, a growth track where you can really get rooted and grounded in the Word. And in the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about stewardship, how that God's the owner of our time, our abilities, our stuff, our money, and that just like we saw the early church in the book of Acts, God really began to move and do great things, not because just because of Peter's great preaching and the great things happening with that, but it was actually because the church understood that they had a responsibility to serve and honor God with their time and share and give, and then God really started moving. So we've been talking about stewardship the last couple of weeks, and we're going to conclude today and kind of continue in that same vein that we left off with last week. If you weren't here last week, let me say this. You really need to get the CD or go online and listen to the message for free or whatever like that, because you will be a little bit disconnected today, okay? So I know that you're just able to kind of jump right in, but I don't have time to review everything. But the basic concept was we looked at how that here in America, we always think no matter how much money we make that we're not rich, that the next level of income is rich. You know, if you make, there's surveys out there, if you make $36,000, you don't think you're rich. You think the people that make $75,000 are rich. And but if you make $75,000, you don't think you're rich. That's the people that make $120,000. The people that make $120,000, they don't think they're rich. They think it's the people that make $250,000. The people at $250,000 don't think they're rich. It's the people that make $500,000 a year. And basically, no matter what amount of income you make, it's those people aren't rich. It's always the next people that are rich. And that's become because the feeling of being rich does not come with a certain amount of income. But the feeling of being rich comes when we have purpose and margin in our finances. And that on a global scale, if your household, not you as an individual, if just your household on a global scale, if your household makes $37,000 a year or more, you are in the top 4% of earners in the world. And if your household makes $45,000 a year or more, you are in the top 1% of earners in the entire world. 99% of the households in the world make less money than you. However, we don't feel rich because many of us don't have the purpose putting God first, understanding our finances are making a difference. And we don't have margin. We have so much financial pressure and we're so strapped and we're paycheck to paycheck. So no matter how much money we make, we don't feel rich. And you guys can attest to this because, you know, if you've been working for a while or whatever, you can maybe think maybe it was 5 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, and you said, man, if I could ever make this amount of money, then everything would be okay, right? Then the financial pressure would be off, right? However, you find yourself 5 years, 10 years later, you're making that amount of money, if not more, but you are under just as much financial pressure. How many of you guys can relate to that? And in fact, there's a survey, there's statistics say that 84% of Americans say that they are under severe financial pressure. And about that same percentage say that they think about money, quote, all the time. God does not want us to live like that, gang. Can I have a good amen to that? He doesn't want us to live. God does not want you to think. If you're going to think about anything all the time, God wants you thinking about Him all the time, not money. And Jesus has a lot of things to say in the Bible about money, that money's His greatest rival. Money is God's biggest competitor for the hearts of people. And that's why Jesus says, look, you know, you can't serve God in money. If we learn and understand these things, no matter what type of situation that we're in, and this is not to condemn anybody, and you're strapped in debt and you got all this kind of stuff, it's just to say, hey, let's just kind of wake up. Let's realize where we are. Let's realize what we have. And how many of you know the Bible says, God says, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. How many of you know things that are impossible with man are possible with God? God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So what if we did this? And here in America, you know, if we're honest, you know, we're constantly thinking about, you know, what we can afford. And many of us, we spend all types of energy trying to figure out, you know, okay, can we afford this? You know, how we can upsize, how we can expand. Now, we don't like the word downsize. Okay, so I'm going to put some new words out there. Let's think of it in terms of this, okay? We're not going to call downsizing downsizing. Let's call downsizing strengthening. And let's call upsizing expanding. Okay, so we have choices. Do we want to strengthen or do we want to expand? And we need to understand that as Americans, we're constantly kind of, somehow we're never thinking about strengthening. We're always thinking about expanding no matter how much financial pressure we are, because probably what we think mistakenly is that somehow if we get to this next level, this is going to make us feel good, feel rich, feel like we've arrived. That's not what gives you that feeling. Purpose and margin in your finances, that's what gives you that feeling. So watch this. What if instead of spending all kind of energy trying to figure out what we can afford, what if we took that energy and we begin to put it towards God and spend energy thinking about how we can put more purpose and more margin in our financial situation? That's good preaching, whether you like it or not. God doesn't want you strapped. He doesn't want you living under so much financial pressure. As I said, pick up the tape last week, gang, on a global scale. Man, we are blessed. You can find purpose and margin no matter where you are financially. In fact, I have right here, I have, you might be a rich person if, ready for this? Okay. You might be a rich person if your cable's ever gone out. Why? Because most of the world doesn't even have televisions, much less cable TV. See these problems? In fact, can I just tell you a problem of the, can I say this? You might be super wealthy. You might be part of the mega wealthy, okay? You might be part of the mega wealthy if you've ever said, my high def receiver is out. Can I be honest? I'm not mega wealthy on an American thing, but that my wife got me on that one this week. I have a high def receiver. I was trying to get the Thursday night ESPN college football game, my high def receiver was out. And I'm like, man, the high def receiver's out. And Carrie's like, that's a rich person's problem. I was like, you know, honey, you're right. But they still need to fix it. No. How about this? Concerned because gas prices are too high. You know why? Have you ever been concerned gas prices are too high? Did you know that 92% of the world does not own an automobile? 92% of the world does not own an automobile. So you might be rich. I said, you know, we talked about watering our yards. Do you think about that? We take clean water. If you ever had a problem watering your yard, you know, you ever have a yard problem, take clean water. That's unavailable in so many parts of the world, including several those places in Africa that our team just got back from. Our bushes, our shrubs get cleaner water than so much of the world even has the possibility to drink. I want to be very clear. This is not to condemn anyone, but it is to help us understand the big picture, gang. We have a lot to be grateful for. Can I have an amen to that? We have a lot to be grateful for. We really do. God doesn't want anyone feeling guilty. In fact, I'm going to read out of this right here. Just to remind everyone, it says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. God has blessed us. God's the one who's blessed us with the ability to live here. And God, here's the deal. Man, because we are so blessed, God wants us to enjoy the privileges that we have that so many people don't have. But the Bible says that the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, but he adds no sorrow to it. too many of us, we've taken the blessing of God, the richness that God's put in our lives, and we're adding sorrow to it because we don't have the purpose and the margin in our finances that God wants us to have so we can really enjoy life. So here's what I have here. I have some ideas to marginize. It's a new word I'm making up. Marginize. I'm not talking about artificial butter. I'm talking about, okay, we're talking about purpose and margin here. Okay, how to create Stovall. I'm strapped. I'm paycheck to paycheck. Let me just say the number one solution is the supernatural power of God. God says you have not because you ask not, but James 4:3, but when you ask amiss. Because you asked to spend it, God's speaking of pleasure. You asked of money. You asked to spend it on your pleasures. So once again, instead of just asking God for more to help me out, God, let's take what we have and let's manage it correctly and let's come to God and let's humble ourselves and let's say, God, help. I ask you to supernaturally help me to start to put purpose, putting you first, giving to you, God, and help me put some margin into my finances so I can enjoy your blessing in my life. Understand, lots of qualifications, people going through jobs, going through divorces, different things, all that kind of stuff. But I want to say, on a whole, okay, and the big picture is this, I don't know what your problem is, but I do know this, God does not want you thinking about money, quote, all the time. He wants you freed up. He wants you to enjoy your life. He does want you to upsize, man. By all means, if you can have purpose and margin in your finances, if you're tithing, if you're giving to God, man, if you have margin where you're not so financially strapped, you have some type of savings, some type of relief there, man, go for it. Go buy the biggest Taj Mahal that you possibly can on the beach in Ponte Vedra. Just remember, you need to keep your refrigerator full, and you need to keep your house open for the staff and all of our college and career students. That's right. We will invite ourselves over. Okay, so here's some ideas to marginize, okay? We're talking about creating some margin, some savings, something, so we're not strapped. Okay, if you're single, do I have some single people in the house today? Okay, no dancing, please. All right, so if you're single, just remember, just ideas. I know many of you have this. What about roommates? If you have two roommates, could you have three? Let me just give you some qualifications for a roommate situation. Number one, no co-ed. All right, some of you guys are like, yes, I need a roommate. It's her. No, it's not. Okay? No co-ed. You really got to qualify here at Celebration Church, man. I'm telling you. No co-ed situations, and also you just want to make sure that your potential roommate has money. You ever gotten in that? Oh yeah, man, I'll move in. We've split 50-50, man. You know, you hadn't seen a dime in 6 months, that old mooching sucker. All right, so, okay, you ready for this? So there's kind of, just think about that with singles. Okay, watch this. Here's another, now look, this is radical. I do want to say you might have heard this word before. This is not a cuss word. It's not a cuss word, and it's not a foreign word. Are you ready? You might want to turn the tape off for this. I don't want to offend people that just hear this on the CD or whatever like that. You ready? Budget. Some of you are like, budget. All a budget does, a budget tells your money where it's spent instead of your money telling you where it went. Okay? I know that many of you, you know, you want false hope. You just don't want to face reality. But watch, all a budget does, it tells your money where it's spent instead of your money telling you where it went. Because it's going to leave your hand. You hearing what I'm talking about? So budget, everybody say budget. That is an American word. It is not a dirty word. Okay? Budget. Let's say, give me a B. Give me a U. Give me a D. Give me a G. Give me a E. Give me a T. What's that spell? Some of you are like, pain. It does not spell pain. Okay, budget. Just a couple more things, we'll move on. Just think about this. If you're thinking about upsizing, you might maybe just want to stay where you are for a little while longer. Live where you are, drive what you have. You know, stay, down, stay, live where you are. And watch this. If you are thinking about upsizing instead of strengthening, oh man, I like that word. If you are thinking about upsizing instead of strengthening, just ask yourself, what is it that's making me want to do this? In other words, like this. Okay, I want to buy this house. I want to upsize. And there's nothing wrong with that. Understand, if you have purpose and margin in your finances, God wants you to enjoy this stuff. He wants you to enjoy his blessing. He just wants us to be good, rich people. Okay? So if you're thinking, what is it that's making me want to upsize? Is there something, like, what about my current living situation? I mean, I just don't like the neighborhood. I don't like my neighbors. Look, get your neighbors to move. See, you know, it's like, what is it? I'm telling you right now, you can save a lot of money. Just get the neighbors to move. So what is it about my situation? And there's a lot of very good, you know, man, our family's just too big and this is just through that and whatever it is. But just think about it. I kind of want more privacy, or I want this, or I wish. What is it that's driving that in your heart? Because there are a lot of creative solutions. Ladies, could you redoing your kitchen is a lot cheaper than a new house. Could you, you know, you don't like your neighbors? You could put landscaping in. You know what I'm saying? Just put in a whole blockade of shrubbery. It's a lot cheaper than a new house. If you think about all the things that you could possibly do to your current living situation, most of them are much cheaper, and it might meet the need that you're looking for instead of upside. You know, your car. What is it about your car? What makes you want to get that new car? Do you just like that? Look, you'll like that. I'm telling you, it'll last for a year. Then you want a different car. What is it about your car? Your car, well, if it's broken down, if it's bad, all that, you know, if it stinks, you know, you're one of those people, you got like 17 of those little Christmas tree, air fresheners hanging from your car, just smells, you know, your car smells, you smell, it's just a big smell. Well, yeah, absolutely, sell the car, you stink, we can't be around you. But anyway, you know, just, how many of you know it's good sometimes just to stop and say, what is the need that's going on inside of me that's wanting me to expand? And if it's a good need and it's before God, absolutely do it. Totally, we need to understand that. But we just want to make sure, watch this, that we're not trading one problem for another. You see what I'm saying? We're not trading this problem, and now we are so strapped financially, living on the edge. We've just traded one problem for another. Okay, watch this. So there's some ideas to marginize, and just want to say about budget. So I want to talk about purpose for just a few minutes here, then we'll close. In fact, if you have your Bibles, you can go to Luke chapter 12, verse 16. And just another thing, this is just kind of a fun thing that you can do. I've kind of given you some fun things to think about. If you took your financial situation and you divided it up in tens, this is really good for young couples that have not gotten in a lot of trouble yet. Okay? If you took your, like, let's say it's a couple in their late 20s, they just got married, each of them are making $36,000 a year. So their household is making $72,000 a year. Your household's less than the top 1% of earners in the world already. If you took $72,000 a year, that's $6,000 a month. If I take $6,000 a month and I put it in tens, that's 10 units of what? It's not a trick question. 600. Yeah, some of you are like, 453. No. $6,000 put in units of 10 is 10 units of 600. Okay, watch. I'm looking at my financial situation in units of 10. Remember, the tithe is a tenth. Okay? So who gets the first 10? Who gets the first 600? God. We give that to God. through our local church. I want to say that tithing, it is money. It's not just your time. It's not just your energy. Tithing is for money. We give God the first through our local church, wherever your local church. If somebody's not your home church, then you give it to wherever your local church is. That first 10 goes to God. Now take the second 10. Here's the second 600. Guess what this is? Margin. This is my margin. In other words, this can be savings. This can be emergencies. This can, you know, be for something we want to buy in the future. It can even be like, hey, man, we're going to take some out of this and go on vacation. This gives you the freedom. Okay, I'm going to give extra over and above my tithe to Africa or to the building fund. Whatever that thing is, here's your margin. So you have eight other units of 10, right? Watch. If somehow, some way, for your house and your car, because that's what everyone has to have a note on their house and in their car. I mean, you know, almost, unless you're just in an extreme blessed situation. If your house and your car, if somehow you can spend no more than 3 units on that, everything else works. It works really, really good. So in other words, if you were starting out, what does that mean? If you took 2 of those units and spent it on your house, if you're a new couple, I'd say, hey, look, get an apartment, get a condo, whatever, but don't let your monthly note be more than $1,200 a month. That's 2 units of that. And then for your transportation, your cars, I'd say, make sure that your cars are no more than $600 a month. 300 each. In other words, 3 of those units for my house and my car. And I know what some of you couples right now are thinking that you're further down the line. You're like, man, I'm taking up 4 or 5 units. Aha. Okay, so here's the deal. There's no condemnation, but what if we took that and we went to God and we said, God, help. I'm in this. I'm stuck in this. But Lord, if you can begin to get me out, give me creative ideas for purpose and margin, I'm going to start putting you first with the tithe, and I'm just going to do everything that I can. I'm going to at least start moving in this direction, God. I'm going to at least start with something where I can with purpose and margin. How many of you know that God's a good God? And if we will just humble, God resists the proud. Give me more and more and more. He gives grace to the humble. And what you'll find is it's actually God who's the one. Guess what? God, man, when you get in the bigger house, guess what? He wants you to enjoy it. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich and adds no sorrow to it. When you get the new car, he wants you to enjoy it. He wants you to say, God, thank you so much. This is awesome. Not like you say thank you for about 2 weeks and you're like, man, how am I going to pay for this? Don't add sorrow to the blessing of God in your life. Man, that's good stuff whether you like it or not. Okay, so here we go. Let's talk about purpose here and then we'll pray. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. Jesus is speaking a parable. Said he told him this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones. And there I will store my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, yeah, plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This night your life will be demanded from you, then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Jesus says, this is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God. So look what Jesus is saying here. Okay, first of all, here's this rich guy. He failed to recognize, first of all, he got all these good crops. Who gave him the good crops in the first place? There's the first thing. He said, oh man, look at all this. What shall I do with this? Instead of understanding God's word and saying, man, I need to be a good steward of what God's given me. God's given me all the stuff he wants. God, look, great. Build your bigger barns. Enjoy your life. Enjoy all this. But understand there's a portion of this that you need to honor me with. See, this man right here, you've heard that, like the richer you get, the smarter you get. Actually, the richer you get, the dumber you get. Many times. In fact, percentage-wise, there's a statistic. The richer people get, the less they give percentage-wise. You know, because what, you give, okay, you make $10, you give $1. What can $1 do, a pack of gum? Make $100, you give $10. What can $10 do? 2 Happy Meals? do you see how my whole economy of scale is on kids? You know, my kids, it's like gum, Happy Meals. You know, but watch, you make $1,000. Well, okay, I'm giving 100. That's pretty significant. But then you make $10,000. Okay, $1,000, man, I can do a lot. $1,000 can do a lot. $20,000, whoa, $2,000, that can do a lot. See, somehow, even though we get richer, we get dumber. And we don't understand that God, that even though the margin goes up and the level of income goes up, somehow God can begin the deceitfulness of riches, Jesus said. So watch, this guy, here's what this guy failed to do. Okay, first of all, this guy had a pretty good plan. I will admit this is a pretty good plan if this life was all that mattered. If this life was all that mattered, this guy had a fairly good plan. However, he failed to see his financial life through the lens of eternity. And he did not realize that how he managed his stuff in this life, there is a huge connection for what his life will look like in the next. God did not rebuke him for being rich. Let me be very clear about this. He was not rebuked for being rich. Why? God made him rich. God gave him the good crops. God did not rebuke him for being rich. God rebuked him for being not rich. For being not rich towards God. That's why the scripture we talked about last week, 1 Timothy 6:17, 19, talks about being generous. God's given us good stuff. The last part of that scripture, verse 19, God says, in this way, being good stewards, in this way they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age or the coming life, that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. You're saved by grace. It's not a matter of where you spend eternity, but there is a huge connection in how you manage your finances and giving to God and purpose with your finances, how you do that in this life, what your life looks like in the life to come. And I'll be honest, not everybody's going to be a millionaire. I don't care what the Christian TV preacher tells you. I'll say that again. I don't care what the preacher on TV tells you or anything else. Not everyone's going to be millionaires. And guess what? Not everybody is going to have a great financial portfolio in this life. But you know what? Everyone can have a great financial portfolio in the life to come, because that is where the true life is. You understand what I'm saying? I don't care if for the rest of your life you make minimum wage. Do you know what? You can tithe and you can have purpose with your finances, and you can know that in the life to come, you are storing up treasures in heaven, and people are going to come to you, and kids from Africa and all over Jacksonville or wherever, and they're going to come to you and they're going to say, thank you so much for your giving, because your giving was what funded the whatever that helped bring me to Jesus Christ, and I'm here in eternity because of your good stewardship. We can all have purpose. We can send it ahead of us. Jesus said, if you give a cup of water, I don't know what that is worth. It's worth a lot to kids in Africa, but monetary. He says, you give a cup of water in my name, you will certainly not lose your reward. I know we're all at different places, but guess what? Here's what I believe. Here's what I feel. I really feel like God has put this on my heart. If we will take energy and humble ourselves before God and say, God, I want to start putting you first in my finances. And Lord, I want to create margin. You need margin. I believe that supernaturally, humble ourselves and say, God, help us. Show me how to start, where to start, what to do. Humble ourselves before God. You have not because you ask not. But when you asked to miss. Let's humble ourselves before God and let's get some real supernatural power working so that we can finally enjoy the privileges of life that God wants to give us. Let's pray.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.